Hello, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X, and welcome to my second podcast in soldering. Hopefully, it hasn't been too long since you heard the first part, and you've managed to gather together all the bits and pieces that I mentioned in the last podcast. This podcast is going to be a bit more free-flowing than previous podcasts, so I may tend to ramble a bit and and things like that, so I apologise in advance. I don't really know how this is going to work, because I suppose really ideally it should be done with a video camera and at least taking pictures, but I thought I'd just have an attempt to talk through solder joints, making a solder joint. Okay, so I've got everything gathered together ready to try some soldering. I thought today we would talk about how to keep your soldering iron clean and how to produce a good joint. And probably the most common thing you'll do is remove a wire from a circuit board and reattach it perhaps, or perhaps join two pieces of wire together, or maybe fit a simple component such as a resistor onto a circuit board, something like that. We'll try going through that sort of thing. Okay, so what have I got here? I've got my soldering iron in front of me, which you can in its stand. You hear that satisfying click? Marvellous. Right, okay. Now, and we also have a solder sponge, small wire cutters. I've actually got a pair of long nose pliers that can kind of be handy sometimes. I've got a pair of tweezers. And I've got an eyeglass, because I've got wonky eyesight these days. Right, and not forgetting, of course, the most important thing, I've got a multi-core flux impregnated solder. A few resistors as well, just to try soldering those. Okay, so the first thing you need to do is obviously switch on your soldering iron, so we'll do that now. Okay, and I'll set mine to 330 degrees, and it's now reading 65 degrees, and it'll start climbing, obviously we've got waiting that heating up. Yep, that's hot already. Not at temperature though. Right. I'm just waiting that heating up. Go. That's the soldering iron now up to temperature. In fact, it's reading 369 degrees, but that'll come back down again and stabilise in a few seconds. That's dropping down now. Right, okay. So, before you start, the first thing that's important is your soldering iron has to be clean. Now, when I look at my soldering iron, the tip's lovely and shiny. Yours should be the same. If it isn't, then you can tin what they call tin the soldering iron, or tin the tip, or wet the tip, whichever way you want, whatever you want to call it. What that entails doing is you basically cover the tip in solder, let it sit a few seconds. That's it all covered, just a wee bit. And rotate the iron so it goes all the way around the thing, and then wipe it off. Okay, and then it's a lovely clean silver tip. If you haven't got a temperature controlled iron, or thermostatically controlled iron, then you may find your iron runs a bit hot and it might be a bit black and not very easy to keep clean. But that's one of the problems with non-temperature controlled irons, I'm afraid. Okay, so that's that nice and clean. Okay, so the secret to soldering is flux. You can get flux in various formats. You can get wee bottles of liquid flux. I remember seeing these all over the place at my work in the early days when I was doing soldering. You can also get, I remember they also came in kind of metal tins, small metal tins, which you could dip your iron into. But none of that is really necessary for the home user. You just need the multi-core flux impregnated solder. And I guess that most of the solder you get these days in the shops will be multi-core flux impregnated solder. The thing about that is that when you apply solder to the tip of the iron, the flux very quickly burns off, and in less than 20 seconds it's burnt off, and then it's useless again. So you've only got 20 seconds. Well, probably really should you should you've only got a few seconds to tell you the truth. Okay, first of all, make sure the soldering sponge is wet. You basically just run it under the tap till it's soaked through, and then wring it tight. And it really shouldn't be dripping with water in that. Just sort of damp, really, I guess. Wring it out reasonably tight, and then place it in the soldering stand. So right, there are six steps to soldering, and it really doesn't matter what kind of soldering job you're doing, whether you're attaching a wire onto a circuit board, or attaching two pieces of wire, or perhaps fitting a component onto a circuit board. The six steps are exactly the same. So step one is you add a tiny bit of solder onto the tip of your iron. Step two, wipe it off on the sponge. Step three, add another tiny bit of solder onto the tip. Step four, apply the soldering iron tip to the joint you're trying to make. Wait a few seconds till the joint starts to melt, and then keep adding wee pieces of small bits of solder until you think you've got enough. But the important thing is that once you add the last piece of solder to the joint, you really once the moment you take the solder away from the joint, you really should try to take the soldering iron away from the joint, maybe another 2 or 3 seconds after you've removed the solder. So you always take the so you know, always add a little bit of solder, take solder away, and then within a second or two, remove the soldering iron, because the flux in the joint will be burnt off and prevent you from creating a good quality joint. And that's the main reason why you end up with see a dull joint or a sort of lumpy joint or something like that. Is because there was no flux all burnt away. And if you find that that's happened, all you need to do is heat the joint up again, add another bit of solder, and within a second or so, remove the soldering iron before that flux burns off. It's amazing how little solder you actually need to freshen a joint up. Just a small amount is all that is required to freshen that joint, if it is indeed a bad joint. Obviously, you can go mad and have a big blobby joint, but at least your big blobby joint will be clean and shiny and not dull and spiky. Also, when you take the soldering iron away from the joint, you want to do it fairly quickly, because if you do it too slowly, again, it can pull spikes off the joint. But that's far less likely if you follow the guide that you apply the last bit of solder and then fairly quickly take the soldering iron away within a second or so of the last piece of solder that you add. So you can keep repeating this as much as you like until you get a good joint, until you get the required amount of solder on a joint, I should say. It's when you linger on the joint and you haven't put any fresh solder on that you end up with lumpy, dull joints. That's basically the secret. To a lesser extent, confidence helps, but much less than you would think. And when you take the soldering iron away from the joint, although you should do it reasonably quickly, you don't need to fly away from the joint, but you certainly don't want to take it away very slowly, or you'll end up with lumps. Okay, the first thing we need to do is remove a wire from a circuit board. And I've just basically attached a piece of wire to a piece of perf board, which is, or breadboard, whatever you want to call it. It basically consists of copper strips that run in one direction with gaps between the strips and holes, obviously, for the components to fit through from the top. So we basically take that out. Step one, wipe it on the, apply a little bit of solder first of all to the soldering tip. Wipe it on the soldering sponge. Apply another piece of solder to the tip. Okay, heat the joint. Remove the wire. Apply a little bit of solder to the joint and remove the soldering iron. There you go. And obviously put the soldering iron back in its stand. That's produced a good joint there. So the soldering iron stays on the joint the whole time, and it's the last thing to be removed. And as I say, really it should be removed within a second or so if you're removing the solder from the joint. Obviously, I mean, you can take as long as you like heating the joint, other than you may destroy the component if it gets too hot, and you may lift the copper track from the circuit board if it gets too hot. That's the other danger, of course. But other than that, you know, it's not a race. The only thing you have to be quick with is that you take the soldering iron away from the solder joint within a second or so of removing the solder. Okay, so that's removing a wire from a circuit board. To attach a wire to a circuit board, it's the same sort of process. You basically wipe the soldering iron, apply a little bit of solder to the tip. Okay, heat the joint, place the wire onto the joint, place the iron maybe on top of the wire to hold it in place. Apply a little bit of fresh solder to the joint, hold the wire and take the soldering iron away. And there you go. A fresh joint. And you really should avoid, if you can, although it's not always possible to, you know, some people create a joint by applying quite a bit of solder to the soldering iron, heating the joint up and it kind of flows onto the joint and taking it away. The trouble with that is that by the time the solder flows round the joint, a lot of the flux can be burnt off the joint, and hence when you take it away, you end up with a joint that's either dull or lumpy or whatever. I guess if you do it quick enough, you can almost get away with that. And sometimes you have to do it because you know, you haven't got enough hands to hold everything in place when you're applying the solder. But when you're doing it that way, which is not the best way to do it, then you've really got to be quite quick. Because obviously, you know, you put the solder on the soldering tip, and it's burning away, and then you put it onto the joint, and it heats up, and it's still all burning away, and then you apply the put the wire into the joint, and it's still burning away. Then finally, you take the soldering iron away. By this point, it's been sitting on the joint and the iron for, you know, several seconds, maybe even longer. Right. So that's a wire attached to the circuit board. Just take that joint back off again. Heat it up. Okay, there we go. Apply a little bit of fresh solder to the joint. Take it off. Wipe that iron. Your tip should always stay clean. You should always be working with a clean, shiny tip on your iron. Okay, so let's imagine I'm going to join two pieces of wire together. I've got one piece of wire here. A second piece here. Now, I guess usually you'd be working with multi-core wire as opposed to single strand wire, which is quite rigid. And if it's multi-strand, then it's probably worthwhile thinning the wire before you attach the two pieces together. So I'll just thin this piece of wire, and how you do that is you basically hang it over the edge of your desk and pick up your soldering iron and add a wee bit of solder to your soldering tip, of course. Okay, wipe it off, a wee bit more, shoulder to the tip. Hold the wire with your index finger. Start at the back of the joint and heat the wire up with the soldering iron. After a few seconds, apply a little bit of solder, and with the solder and the soldering iron tipped, follow it along the whole length of the wire until you get to the end, and that'll coat the whole wire, and then take both away. Swipe the soldering iron clean again, put it back in the stand, and that then coats the wire, tins it, coats it in solder, so that when you're trying to work with the thing, it doesn't all splay out and get in a bit of a mess. Now, I tend to make a 90 degree bend on the bare wire end on both pieces of wire. I'll do that with this one and with that one. Okay, two 90 degree bends in the wire. Then I push, then I sit one on top of the other, and then I rotate both in opposite directions to kind of lock the two together, and then it perhaps give it a wee twist just to bind the two together. Twist the two pieces to the two pieces of wire together. Okay, hang over the edge of the desk like last time. So you've got a mechanical. You should really, if you always try and get a mechanical joint before you solder. So obviously by twisting them together, you've got this mechanical joint. Okay, take the soldering iron out with a wipe. Apply a bit of solder to the tip. Finger on the wire. Apply a little bit of heat to the joint. Apply some fresh solder. Remove the soldering iron. Clean the tip of the soldering iron. Back in the stand. And there we have it. A clean, tidy joint. Now, you may find you know that you've got some loose ends from that bit that you, from the piece you folded over. You can trim these with your wire cutters if you like. Just do that now. There we go. Of course, I forgot to mention heat shrink sleeving, and you know, you're often making up a cable, and you'll attach the wires or whatever, and then you think, where's the heat shrink? And you forgot to put it on. So then you've got to unsolder it all again, then put the heat shrink on, and then resolder it. So remember to put the heat shrink on first, in place. Slide it over the joint. If you've got a heat gun, use that. If not, use the old toaster technique that I mentioned in the previous episode. Unfortunately, I don't have a toaster here to hand to demonstrate that. Okay, so that's joining two pieces of wire together. We could try soldering a resistor onto the printed circuit board or piece of perf board that I've got here. So, turn the perf board over so that it's on the non-copper side. Sit it on the board so you can work out where you need to put the legs through, and try and set the component kind of halfway between the two holes that it needs to pass down through. Keeps it nice and neat. And then what I like to do is I take my small nosed pliers I've got here and just go back a little bit from the hole that I'm looking for, grip it and bend the one leg 90 degrees down. Okay, so that's one leg bent 90 degrees. Then I can place that into one of the holes in the circuit board to check that it sits okay. Then have a look to see where the second hole is going to be. And remember, you've already lined it up halfway, so it should be quite equally spaced. So again, I'm going to put my small nose pliers just before the hole, grip it, take the component out again and bend it again through 90 degrees. That's it. And now the component's got nice two neat bends in it. I mean, you don't need to do that, you can just pass it through and pull it through, but you end up with a neater job if you do it this way. And then place the component back into the two holes that you previously had it in. It should line up, hopefully. Now, of course, you're kind of running out of hands here to hold the component in place while soldering it, aren't you? So what you can do is, I'm holding the board in one hand and using my index finger to hold the resistor in place, turn the board over, lift the end of the solder up so that I can put a little bit of solder onto the tip of the iron, take the iron out of its stand, apply a little bit of solder to the tip, wipe it off, apply another fresh bit of solder onto the tip, a bit more this time, and heat up one of the joints where the resistor is for a few seconds and take it away. Now you'll find you'll have made probably a rather messy joint there. It's just been what they call tacked on, but that doesn't matter because it now holds the component in place. And now I'll wipe the solder off the soldering iron. Okay, now that it's held in place, I can take my soldering iron, take it out of the stand, wipe it, apply a little bit of solder to the tip, wipe it off, apply some fresh solder, go to the other end of the resistor, apply the tip between the track and the leg of the component, so that he's heating both things up, and after a few seconds apply a bit of heat on the other side of the leg. Keep applying wee bits at a time, all the time holding the soldering iron on the joint. When you think you've got enough, take the solder away and remove the iron. Wipe the iron clean, back in the stand. So as I say, you can keep adding wee dabs of solder if you like, as you keep the iron on the joint the whole time, until you think you've got enough solder. The important thing is you take the iron away last, and you do it within a few seconds of adding the last bit of solder. I can't stress that enough, really. Okay, so we'll just cut the top of this leg off. One, okay. And the first joint that you made, it's actually all lumpy and lumpy and messy. It doesn't have enough solder on it. We can fix that. So take the soldering iron out. Wipe the tip. Oh, sorry. Apply a wee bit of solder. Wipe the tip. Some more fresh solder on the tip. Onto the joint that was messy. First joint. Heat up a few seconds. Add a wee bit of solder. A wee bit more solder. That seems to be enough. Take that iron away. And that's produced a nice, tidy, clean joint. I'll just cut the end off the component, and that's it. And really, that's all there is to soldering. It's far less about skill than you would think. It's just down to the fact you have to have flux on the joint, and there's more than enough flux in multi-core solder to do that. You know, you don't need bottles of flux, as I said earlier, or anything like that. You must take the soldering iron away from the joint within a few seconds of adding the last piece of solder. That's the most important thing of all.
Conclusion.
Well, I don't know how this has worked, and I may have rambled a hell of a lot. I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll give soldering a go. It's the sort of thing you don't do very often, probably, but it's certainly a very handy skill to have. Show notes for this podcast are available at HPR, include a list of relevant links and further information. I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.